How you doing today? Isn't it beautiful outside? I mean, man, gorgeous weather. It really is. Let's see. We're going to start today with 688, and let's stand. 688. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the good week, keeping us safe, Lord, the daily provision. Oh, Lord, the opportunity to be here today. We thank you so much for it. Thanks for my friends being here today, Lord, my church family. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together, talk to each other, shake a hand, a hug, Lord, whatever. Lord, your word says we're to build each other up. Help us to do so today, Lord, while we're here. Be with our pastor, Lord. He's here today. Anticipate some time in your word along with us, Lord. I just pray you guide him, you direct him. Give him that power, Lord, that he needs today to give that message you laid in his heart, Lord. Help us, Lord. Be with our nation, Israel, Lord. Just guide and direct her, Lord. We know that you will. They're your chosen. But help us, Lord, to remember the love that you have for them is the same love you have for us, Lord. Yes. Guide and direct us here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. We got a new one we're going to sing here shortly. Let's see. Announcements and offerings. Bunches of dates there. Better read through this one. Don't forget tonight, the 6th is our evening service, our Way of the Master series. Lesson 4 is coming up. 14th and 28th, we have personal evangelism. The 16th, we have a deacon's meeting. Iron sharpens iron. The 18th, Thanksgiving service. We'll have our morning service normally, and then at 2 in the afternoon, we have our Thanksgiving service with Walnut Park. We have no evening service that day. Please sign up backboard if you'd like to bring a dessert for that. The 22nd, we have no evening service, obviously. 26th, music meeting. Check with Autumn or Sandra on the WBS dates. Let's see, we got till the end of the year to complete our classes for the kids that we work with here in the church. We have a ushers meeting directly after our morning service. And Pastor Soft of the Week, a strong military cannot defend a weak nation. A weak nation can't produce a strong military. Whew. God is our strength and shield. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering.
Yes, the Thanksgiving service is here.
Is there? I'm sorry. If you go somewhere else, you're going to be lost, right? Okay.
I'll talk about that after.
Come on up, guys, please.
And then to add that, the other announcement, the Inquisitor's class.
Oh, I didn't get that one. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this day, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we can be here. Thanks, Lord, for just getting us here safely. We're anticipating some good work in your word today, Lord, along with our pastor. Just guide us and direct us, Lord, as he speaks. Touch hearts today, Lord, with what you have. Be us now as we take up this offering, Lord, be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's see. Get set up here a little. Well, anytime I get scheduled for a special, I always pray and ask the Lord what he'd like to hear. And this time, he gave me an answer really fast. And it's an old hymn written in 1892 by Johnson Oatman Jr., I think, or something around that line. And Charles Gabriel from Wilton, Iowa, wrote the tune for it. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is, I like this hymn a lot. I like a lot of hymns. There are really great ones out there. And I thought, well, that's, you know, it's not super special, and it's special music. But he would not let that out of my heart. He's like, that's what you're singing, so just sing it. So here I am today to present this, and it's when you present a special music number, it's difficult because I am not singing for all of you. I'm singing for God up on the throne. But unfortunately, I have to look at you guys because he's up there and invisible to us while we're here on earth. So it's a difficult thing to balance a presentation to your church family, but also an offering to the Lord. So you can bear with me while I do that and enjoy it. I hope this song ministers to you. This song is about, as believers, getting more joyful in the Lord and having that joy and not being in a downcast place and getting on that higher ground toward God. So when I get to the final chorus of the song, I have the words up on the PowerPoint there, and I love it if you joined with me and praise the Lord together and rejoice together. song of saints on higher ground. Clap if you like, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Smile, everyone. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven.
I go up in the pulpit this morning, but the first thing that I'd like to take a little time to do here today is to honor anyone that we have with us that served in the U.S. military forces, no matter what branch of service. We want to honor you today and thank you for your service to our nation and to defend, again, our constitutional freedoms. So if you'd like to stand this morning, if you're a veteran, yesterday was Veterans Day, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the end of World War II. Kenny, we've got you here. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, Kenny. Thanks for serving. Yeah. Don't forget those that put their lives in harm's way for our freedoms. I do have a few things I need to bring to you this morning before I go up to pray. I just want to bring a couple things to us. We were singing in our hymns this morning, and what Autumn presented to us, you know, eternity is just a heartbeat or a breath away. I assume most of you maybe have heard, but Mrs. Hubbard, Charlene, Ruby, technically, went to be with the Lord last Friday. She was the founding pastor's wife, his widow here at Fruitland. And so wanted you to be aware of that you can pray for the family. There will be some activities here on Friday. I'm not certain of exact times, but probably a visitation here at the church on Friday and some type of a service, I'm assuming, afternoon here on Saturday afternoon. So be in prayer for that family as they gather, and some of them will be back, and also friends and relatives around this area will have a time to remember Charlene Hubbard. And then I also received word this morning that Jeff Hackett passed away yesterday. That would be Jean's stepson, Mary Lou Rock, Hackett Rock, her son. And many of you may have known Jeff, but he went into eternity yesterday. So it's a serious thing, isn't it? Life is a brief thing. And so be in prayer for the Hackett family. And, of course, Craig and Andrea come here. That'd be his nephew. And so a lot of things are going on, okay? So draw close to the Lord today, even as we stand on higher ground. Also today, I have several things we've got to talk about. There is a slide up there. I don't know if we have that. We'll get to that in just a minute. But some of you may have looked on here and said, what's this Thanksgiving service next Sunday at 2 p.m.? Well, that is a service that will be here. For many years, for some of you that may not be aware of this, what used to be Walnut Street Baptist Church on 6th and Walnut, which now is Walnut Park, that was our mother church down here at Fruitland 60-plus years ago. And this church started in a potato shed. We came from humble means, but God's been good to this church. And we want to stay humble and let Him have the glory and see what God has in store for the next 60 years, should He tarry. But for many years, we've gathered with Walnut Park for a Thanksgiving service. We've also invited Cedar Street from Tipton, Let's Bible Church, and the community. So at 2 p.m., We'll have a service here followed by some refreshments. But please come. Don't get concerned about anything. It is kind of a free-flowing service, but it's about being thankful. And so come prepared to rejoice and give thanks and fellowship with other believers. So every other year we alternate. So I want you to know what that's all about, and we would love to have you be here. Very, very good time. Also this Saturday we have our food distribution, and I need some instructions to announce on that. What I see a lot of it is packed already, but what time do we need to meet here to get everything in order to set out? That's what I thought. So 8 a.m. and the pickup will be from 9 to 10, I believe. Come and meet people. What we do is we'll put it out on tables outside, and cars come through with their vouchers, and we get to say hi to them and encourage people. And it was a very good time. So I encourage you to come to that as well and be involved in that. Denny, I don't know how the Bible study is going to work, but you'll have it for those that can do it, and I assume, and we'll work with that. So that is this coming Saturday. Another thing we need to announce, there is a 6 p.m. Sunday School Revitalization meeting this coming Thursday. And with that said, the group that was given the responsibilities to improve and revitalize our Sunday School, we've made some progress, and we'll be announcing some of those things. But if we have that slide up here, I just want to make you aware of some things that are coming down the pike. Thanks, Jay Don. And by the way, no service normally that we'd have on Wednesday the 22nd preceding Thanksgiving. Another slide there, Jay Don, Sunday School. There you go. We have a need for a teacher here. You do have to be a member, and you do have to go through the training and background checks and so forth. By the way, if you're visiting here today, we're glad for you. I don't mean to not tell you that right away. There's so many things we have to talk about. We do have backgrounded and trained teachers here for our Sunday School department for all ages. But what we're going to start after the first of the year is a class that's called the Inquisitors. And I'm going to lead that class, but at least to start. And we're talking about doing some rotation in Sunday School. But this is a class for someone, and it could be someone that's advanced in age or young in age, but wants to learn the things of the Christian faith in a very low-key setting, a give-and-take setting, just around the table. And so we're going to begin that after the first of the year, probably on the 7th or 8th. I can't remember how that dating flows. But I'll be talking to some of you about that and inviting you personally, but that'll be a class that we'll have on our own. And so I'm looking forward to that. And Jason's going to take on the junior-senior high Sunday School class. So he'll have a good group there, and we're glad for that. So you'll be hearing more about that, but put that in your memory bank and consider that. Also, there's a need for 4 adults and 2 kids to help with a reader's theater for next Sunday afternoon. It's very simple, 5 minutes, no memorization. Just there's some that have volunteered. Kim, we could either do it this evening after service quickly or Wednesday evening after service. So that's a request, and these are good little things there. Also, I need to hear some feedback about caroling. If you want to do that this year and it needs to be put on the calendar, you need to get that to Deb. I'm fine. I'll always come if I can. Last time I missed half of it, I was in jail. I was, Don, literally. I know it, Don. What happened, I was in there visiting, and there was something arose there, and we couldn't get out, so I was late to get. So that is my excuse. I was in jail. Yeah, Don knows all about me. Now, what have I not talked about? Oh, because there will be a need for a luncheon next Saturday surrounding Mrs. Hubbard's celebration of life or whatever it's going to be that's done. We need to meet and, again, make some plans, if we can, how to get that affected, the food. And also we'll have dessert on Sunday. So we have a busy week here. And great needs. But God will supply all of our needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I think I got everything down here that I need to talk about. We're going to have to start doing triple page bulletins. We got so many things to deal with. But anyway, thank you for your cooperation. And at this time, let's go and begin in prayer. Again, I'm thankful and want to welcome all of you that are visiting today, if you are. And trust you'll have a good experience here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I have to reshuffle here just briefly. The pulpit's beginning to look more and more like my desk. If you've never seen my desk. Anyway, the title of our message today is part two of Satan's attacks and his targets. And so we're going to work through that today. But before we do that, let's take a few moments to adjust our hearts to worship. That is why we're here today, to tell God and show God in our personal walk with Him and yet corporately how much we love Him and how great He is. And I'm going to tell you, folks, He's great. There's no further place you can go but to God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the giver and taker of life. It all revolves around Him. And if you and I are struggling today in our walk to put Him in that place, today's a good day to consider why He is worthy of that place and of our worship. So I welcome you to services this morning on that basis. We'll take just a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll get down to business here in this message today, because it's help that we all need. And I'm thankful that the Lord will lift us to higher ground. Let's pray together on this beautiful November Sunday morning. Our loving Father in heaven, as we come before you today as the gathered believers, the called out ones, Lord, the church, we do come today, Lord, acknowledging on this beautiful November morning here in Fruitland, Iowa, Lord, the beauty of your creation alone today draws us upward to you, O Lord, to look into your face this day. I thank you today that we have seen the face of God and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people saw him as the God-man, fully God and fully man here on this earth. And through the inspirational power of the Holy Spirit, you have recorded those events and those days that are a part of history. They cannot be refuted. Lord, I thank you that your word cannot be refuted. It is truth. And we come today on that basis, Lord, to honor and glorify you as the local church. You are worthy indeed, Lord, of all our honor, praise, and accolades, and we can never give you enough today, Lord. I pray you'll speak to the hearts of all of us here today through your word. Grow us, Lord. We're all weak. We all stumble. We all struggle with sin. I pray you'll forgive us and cleanse us today, Lord, especially myself. I pray, Lord, again, that this day might be a life-changing moment for all of us as we consider. Lord, we think today just of two that were announced. We think of Mrs. Hubbard, gone to be with you, Lord, last Friday. And now, Lord, we think about Jeff Hackett as well and the fact that he has passed into eternity. Lord, help us to get it right sooner than later, I pray. I pray for both of those families today, Lord, and the struggles they'll face, Lord, with an empty spot around the table, with the grief and the loneliness, and the chaos that comes, Lord, from death. But we know this, Lord, you never intended for there to be death. That's something man chose and the ramifications of it. But thankfully, Lord, you overcame it for us at the cross. You died that we might live eternally if we'll place our faith in you. And so we thank you and acknowledge that today, Lord Jesus. Lord, now that we know there are other needs and situations that are a part of people connected here to Fruitland Baptist Church, every Sunday there are people that are not here for various reasons. We have a community outside of our doors, Lord, that again sees a group gathered here every week. I pray, Lord, today would be the day that you'd speak to their hearts. Help us to be proactive for you, Lord, as we go out amongst the world. And Lord, as we again bring that message of love and good news to those around us. Now today, Lord, I acknowledge I battle with the wicked one, Satan, in my life, and I know, Lord, that the truth of it is every one of us in here do. And Lord, we pray that you've given us victory, though, over those sins and ultimately in what you did in your resurrection after you died for our sins on the cross. But Lord, it's a daily battle, and I pray today that you'll help us to be on guard and that, again, Lord, we will see the forces of Satan defeated in our personal walk and lives. Now, Lord, I need help as always because I'm the weak link in all of this. I pray you'll keep Satan's hands at bay and help me, Lord, hold my hand as I bring forth this message. We'll get as far as we can today, Lord, and what we don't get, we'll get later if that's to be. But I thank you that you have given us the freedom to study and the time even, Lord. We've got plenty of time on our hands to look into your word. Forgive us, Lord, for not taking better use and account of what you've given us. Now, Lord, we do thank our veterans, too, here in America that have served. And I pray, Lord, you'd continue to bless them and protect them. Even today, as our service personnel are on active duty in many places in this world, we know this, Lord, you're unwinding your days. And so we know that dynamic things are on the horizon and are currently with us. Now, again, may we be a blessing to you, and we ask your blessing and presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I won't go back through the whole introduction of this message, but today we're going to part two of it. And it's a simple question that I was asking. And again, we learned last week, though, that we're all targets for Satan. No one is immune. And so we need to take heed to that fact that we walk in a danger zone, that we have a target painted on our backs. But the second point that I'd like to begin with today, and we have seven actual points that I think will be beneficial for all of us to consider. And as I always tell you about my messages, there could be many more. You cannot preach a perfect message, but God's word is perfect. And it will give you all the message he has if you look into it. But the second point today that we need to look at is what factors in the life of a Christian leave us wide open for Satan's attack. And I believe this, folks, as I said, Satan has a target even on unbelievers, and he wants to keep them in his camp, but he sure wants to see Christians defeated. You know, I personally don't believe that the Bible teaches we can lose our salvation. I believe once we're saved, Jesus never lets us go. He doesn't make mistakes. He loves us. No one can pluck us out of his hand. But I do believe we become increased targets for Satan's wrath. Because what Satan would like to see in all of us is for all of us to fall and to bring others with us and cause us to stumble and see destruction and havoc in our lives. May the Lord help us because we're all vulnerable to a fall. But I believe these points today, I have seven after I introduce just one other thing, will help us to understand our vulnerability. And I tell you, first off, I am vulnerable. I am no different than anyone else. We all face Satan's targets. The first thing, and we're not going to study this technically at this time, but I just want to refer to a specific chapter in the Bible, and that is Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if I were to ask you what's all in Ephesians chapter 6, especially toward the later part, it's about the armor of God. And you might want to read that. I'm going to allude to one verse this morning, but I'd ask, and I know already we're not going to get this message done today, so there will be a part three, and I'll see how that works. We may have a Thanksgiving message next week, but we'll make adjustments. Or maybe not. Will you let me have it the week after Thanksgiving Day? You're such a nice group. And by the way, the tomatoes are all froze and rotted, so you can't throw those at me anymore. And anyway... take a look at that passage, because it talks about armor, and it talks about a couple of kinds of armor. It talks about defensive armor to withstand the wiles or the trickery or the jabs of Satan, the fiery arrows, but it also talks about an offensive armor and how we go on attack against him in our lives and his influence in the lives of people and in our world. So Ephesians 6 is a very important thing, and... It helps us to understand that our defects in our spiritual defenses and offensive armor are vulnerable points for Satan. So it's a key thing, again, to be armed in the Word of God and to know how to handle these things, because what I'm going to present to us this morning are things that are very much a part of the human experience. I'd like us to turn this morning to begin with Well, I'm going to wait on that just a minute. But here's the first point of the seven. Some of you have heard this saying before, which is not biblical explicitly, but has the portents of what the Bible says about this. And it's simply this: idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. But I'm going to say this for this first point. It's not all about our hands, because everything our hands do starts with our... An open mind is a dangerous place to be, especially an open mind that is not concentrating on the things of God. By the way, it's important to have an open mind toward God, to let Him fill us, to let Him nourish us, to let Him enrich us in His ways and in His walk. But an open mind that is not open to the things of God is a very vulnerable place to be attacked. An unfortified mind in the Word of God regularly is an open invitation for attack and victory for Satan. By the way, one of the things that's our offensive and defensive armor is this book. It's a sword. I just tell you this right now. I don't carry any type of a weapon other than a Bible. That's the sword of the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm not judging you. You do whatever you need to do. But I'll tell you what, folks, if we'll take this book, it'll defend us, it'll protect us, and it'll give us an offense to use. And it's very important. So an unfortified mind in the Word of God is a dangerous place to be today. An open mind, but not to the things of God. I'd like us to look at Proverbs 23:7. I would just like to preach on all these texts in a long, long way, because they're so rich. But Proverbs 23:7. And this talks a little, the Bible talks a great deal about our minds and where they're at and how that has an effect. But I do want you to read Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, before the next week. Proverbs 23:7, written by who? Solomon. If you read the context around this verse, you'll see what Solomon is talking about when we have an open mind, especially around influential things and people. And you can read the context here. And Solomon's basically saying this: don't be sucked in by people's powers, okay? And the idea to have a great connection with people of influence. Because oftentimes, Satan is behind these things, and you know how this always works. We never get higher, we get drug lower. Never forget that. But what Solomon tells us here not only applies to people we may encounter, but it applies to ourselves if we're not grounded and if we're not fortified in our mind with the things of Christ. Here's what Solomon says in verse 7: "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What you have in your heart, or what we have in our minds, is what we are. Can we come clean with ourselves today about what lies in the heart of man? We know that Solomon also told us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Word of God tells us that. We live with a dangerous thing that, again, is susceptible to the attacks of Satan, and that is our minds when they are not grounded in the things of God. So, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." And so Solomon concludes that verse. He says, "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." The first test today is our heart with the Lord today. Is it about the things of the Lord, or is it open to other things that Satan may use to attack us and cripple us in our walk? Or, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, derail you from the Savior, because you have other things in your heart and in my heart, again, that will cause us to leave the Lord behind and go after the things that Satan has presented. We must be very, very careful how we handle this, Christians. And if you're here as an unbeliever, definitely this is something you must consider. Where does your heart and my heart lie today? Are we open to the things that would be offered to us that go against what God would have us to do? It's that simple. An open mind but not to the things of God is a dangerous place and makes us vulnerable to Satan's attack. Philippians 4:8, real briefly. Again, I could preach on all these verses, but we got to get the main point. Philippians 4:8. Here's a good way, Philippians, I went past it here. Philippians 4:8. Here's a good little formula that Paul gives. I also want you to read the context around this. But here he's talking about the openness of our mind and where the thinking and center of our mind is directed. And so Paul writes this to the believers at Philippi. He says, "Finally, brethren," and you want to read what he wrote before, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue." That word virtue in the Greek is the word arete, and it means excellence or correctness. So if you can insert that in there, if there be any excellence or correctness, and if there be any praise, do what with your mind? Think on these things. So whatever floats into your empty mind, understand this, in my empty mind, here the Apostle Paul, just in this little package in Philippians 4:8, has given us the recipe of how we can see our mind changed to think on things that will resist satanic attack in our lives. Okay? So this is a help right there. He says, get your mind centered on what? The things of the Lord. And Satan will not be able to penetrate those caverns, those empty caverns, when our mind is not focused on the Lord Jesus and the things of God. Enough said. Let's go to point two, unless you want to hear more. Here's a big one, folks. Four P's that will get us into trouble and open us up to attack and influence of Satan. Now, Melissa's got the written text here, and I need to get this all up in PowerPoint again, but she, and by the way, I've got a couple copies if you want them, and they are not for sale. Oh, I just wanted to throw that in. Now, if I were like some of the classical preachers, we'd have 15 minutes in the preaching service, Don, where I'd be selling books. You know better than that. You're talking to an old country person here. Here's the four P's. Prosperity, power, pride, and poverty. Prosperity, power, pride, and poverty. Four things that will set us up for trouble with Satan. What do you think about that? Some people say it's not good to be poor. Some people say it's not good to be rich. Some people say it's not good to be powerful. God says it's not good to have pride. I'll tell you what, folks, all four of these can be very dangerous and can make us vulnerable to Satan's influence and attacks. If you've got too much prosperity, you don't need God. There's people that are not in these seats today because they have another God, and things are going pretty well until they may have three boats in the garage. Or maybe outside of the garage. They may have three garages. They may have all kinds of wealth and influence and prosperity in their lives. But apart from Jesus Christ, they're walking in the trickery of Satan, folks. And he's got them. He's got them sucked in tight. Because prosperity becomes their God. And they have no need for the God of the Bible. Or his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing goes along with power. When I see people in powerful places, that's the most dangerous place you can be. Now, does that mean we don't get into those kind of situations? No, but we always have to have power under what? Control and humility. Exactly. You want to go for a fall? Let yourself get built up on your power, your position in things. And you know what? Your pride, and you'll be falling. Because the Bible says what? Pride goeth before the fall. As I've always said, it's better to stay low because it's not so far to fall. But I'm telling you, power will bring them, that'll suck them in tight too every time. All you have to do is go look at the legislature, the political offices, not all, but most in our nation, they've come under the influence of power and prosperity and pride. Pride goes right along with this, folks. When we think we're something special, we better be careful. Even though to the Lord Jesus we are special, He loves us, we're His children. But I've often said this in my own life. I rarely have ever bragged on my children. God doesn't even want us to brag about ourselves. If we're going to do any bragging, we ought to brag on Him. Now you got something that's worth doing. But if you brag on your children, and I hear this, oh my, I think, yeah, well, tell me the whole story. Because the day you brag on your children is the day they'll let you down. And know this today, parents, whether you're 90 years old or more, or young parents today, your children are struggling with things just like you are. Pray for them. There's another P we could throw into the mix. Pray that Satan won't have an influence on their lives for destruction. But I'm telling you, folks, our pride will usurp the pride we ought to have in God and the glory that we ought to give Him. It's a dangerous place to be. Satan loves it. And then there's poverty. I have to tell you today, I have never lived in physical poverty, even though I maybe have not always had all the fancy things of life. But you know what? Kim and I talked about that yesterday. We've had a good life. Just a life that God gave us. Well, I shouldn't tell you all this. We washed windows yesterday. Oh, boy. We got three-fourths of the way through the windows, which is a job at our house. It involves a lot of climbing and monkeying around with the windows. Some of you know what they're like. But somehow, Kim brought out a new set of towels yesterday, paper towels, and I was doing the washing. Those towels smeared the windows. And there was nothing we could do to fix that. I had to end up going back with regular towels out of the washer, you know, to get the smear off the windows. There was some raised voices in our home. Kim blamed me, and I blamed her. And then it really got loud. She had one of the indoor windows raised up. I said, "Dear, you better hook that because it's going to fall." Guess what happened? Crash! No broken glass, but half the glazing fell out of that window. Well, that must mean it needed reglaze. So I was in that kind of a mood. I said, no problem. Glaze the window. Keep it low. Let God be exalted. But poverty can separate people from the Lord, truly. When we're not thankful for what we have, because God wants us to be, but when we get to thinking that God hasn't been very good to us, oh, folks, we better take another look. He's been good to us. And so we're going to go to the prayer today of Solomon again here. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. By the way, Solomon is purported to be, not purported, but said by God to be what? The wisest guy. I'm telling you, he hit the highs and the lows. But in the end, praise God, just I hope for all of us, he got it right. Read Ecclesiastes 12 sometime and he'll tell you. He went through all. How many chicks did he have? 1,000, wasn't it, or more? Yeah. He went through it all. He had all the stuff. But in the end, he says, fear God and keep his commandments. Yep. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Here's the prayer. Two things I have required of thee, deny me them not before I die. If you had a limited time to go, what would you pray to God for? Don't answer that, but consider that sometime. What would you pray? This is what Solomon prayed. I think it's a prayer that we could take to heart. He says, two things I have required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity, which is what? Pride. And lies. And catch this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Yeah, we've all been indoctrinated by Satan. We want to be rich. Well, granted, some things are easier if you have plenty of cash on hand. But in the end, it's really not. How many families have been broken apart over inheritance? Huh? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Our prayer should be what? Lord, may your will be done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, well, I'm thinking of one of our dear old saints that used to go here to Fruitland, Bertha Reed. I think it's okay. Judy, it's okay if I share this, isn't it? Yeah. When Bertha was getting ready to go with the Lord up at the hospital, she was seeing heaven. I said, Bertha, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to be in a perfect place. It's all going to be wonderful. Bertha lived kind of a rough life here on earth, didn't she, Judy? By the way, I still have her magnifying glass on my desk. I gave her Bible to someone, and I can't remember who it is. I said, Bertha, you're going to be in the mansions very soon with Jesus. She says, oh, I don't need anything like that. Just a place to get in. Love you, Bertha. You taught us so much. Are you grateful today? What more could you want? Probably for most of us, this is another discussion that Kim and I got into. Please forgive me for getting off the track. Can we come back next week? Lord willing, if it is allowed. I said, Kim, this old farmhouse has a minimalist beauty about it. You know what minimalism is. I said, I think we need to, Zelpha, you're going to laugh. I said, I think we need to de-junk our house. And guess what Kim said? She did say that. Followed by the farm equipment magazines. She said, I agree. See, sometimes we have so much stuff that we miss the beauty of the simple. And Satan attacks us and says, if you only had more stuff. See? The beauty is in Jesus, folks. And so often we miss it. Well, there it is. That's the second one. Prosperity, power, pride, and poverty. All four of those can open attacks from Satan and make us vulnerable. Third one, we're going to quit for today. We'll pick it up where it's left off. If the Lord takes me home, someone will have to get up here and give us the rest of these points. The third one is places of temptation, literally and of the mind. The text that I want to go to here is James 1, 13 through 16, because it gives the recipe for defeating temptation. James 1, yeah, as soon as I get turned here. James 1, 13 through 16. The places of temptation, literally, and of the mind that destroy our fellowship with God and those around us. Remember that, folks. That's Satan's key thing with all. He wants destruction. Not only for you and I, but for everyone we have a touch with. Our sin is destructive. But, folks, this is a category that's unlimited, but I'm going to name a few of them here, just a few, okay? Because sometimes we get in places of temptation, and folks, they are more prevalent than ever before. They are not only physical, but they are in the mind. And we operate as humans as a very visible creature. What we see in our eyes is hard to forget. What's burned into the mind, into the heart. But folks, we live in an environment today, and I'm just going to use this generically, the internet. You can go to phones, you can go to all the devices, but folks, most people are really controlled by the forces of cyberspace. I admit it, I didn't used to like to have a phone. I really don't like it yet. But I have to have it because of what? Because if you try to get me sometime, you aren't there. We expect you to be there instantaneously, Pastor. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It isn't always going to happen that way. But I don't believe I ever have not gotten back to one of you fairly soon because I have to keep that device very handy, right? Satan uses those forces to control us, to get a hold of us. Don't kid me. I don't know who's got their phone out. I know you're following along in the scriptures this morning in it. But seriously, everyone has a phone in their hand or somewhere very close to them. You go into the schools today. Jay Don, tell me. In school, people aren't supposed to have phones there because they're a distraction. But guess what? Folks, we're hooked. Is a phone or a device wrong? No. But it's what we use it for, like everything else. Remember Gramps on Jeff's Collie Lassie? Remember what he called the TV when it was just coming out? By the way, they had a 51 Ford. I always liked their car on that show. Gramps called it, that was George Cleveland, he called it the Vision Box. TV. Forerunner, all the rest of it. I think he was pretty right. I'll give you a few more here quickly. Spending, buying, shopping. Remember Grandma Robinson? When she and Grandpa didn't get along, I told you this before, Grandpa would get his railroad pay, Grandma would go spend as much of it as she could. Hey, this happens. What about the casino? What about pie? Food? What about pornography? What about gaming? I don't want to pick on you, Faith, but why'd you turn your head over? It's okay, Marcos. I love you. Aren't a lot of us hooked on? I'm not hooked on it, but that I'm hooked on other things, but aren't we? What about opposite sex situations? All kinds of situations where we're placed in temptation, literally, physically, but also in our minds. And folks, those situations are where Satan gets a hold of us and wreaks his havoc. Now, I'm going to give you this, and we got to quit because time's up. But James 1, 13 through 16, and I'm going to start with this next time because this is the formula to defeat Satan. Let no man say when he is tempted, like Flip Wilson. He said the devil made him do it. No, the devil doesn't make. The devil plants the thoughts, but you're the one that acts. And let me tell you this assuredly today, God does no evil. He will never tempt you with evil. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Know that today. That's holy writ. But every man is tempted. By the way, James doesn't say some people will be tempted. He says every person. So don't give me this. We're all in the same boat here today, folks. No one has arrived. Just like my ship hasn't arrived. It's stuck out in the sand somewhere. We're all in the same boat. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or desires. Some of the things I gave us here are part of that already. And he is enticed. And I do believe this, Satan has the ability to entice our minds to get us started to think. By the way, if you stop there, it's not sin. But when you go beyond that, folks, the destruction begins. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Apostle James is telling us sternly here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be wrong on this, my brothers and sisters. You better take this very, very seriously, Pastor John. Congregation. He says, don't make a mistake on this. Don't err. Or Ur, some people say, but I think that's where Abraham came from, Ur of the Chaldees. Don, you're not smiling. But let's smile today, folks, and know this. Jesus has defeated Satan. He's a defeated foe. What he's going to do to us, we have the authority through Christ and through the power he gives us to withstand and to have victory over. I'd like to preach for another hour this morning. But here, we'll come. Is it okay if we come back next time? Okay. But here it is, folks. I want to declare, I did this a while back, and I don't know if it got any response, but I'm declaring this for myself and all of us, a satanic attack warning. A satanic attack warning. I believe in the day we live today with the complexities of it and the progression that's been made in our society and culture in many ways, although we've degressed as well, it's worthy of a satanic attack warning because I believe we're in vulnerable times, folks. It's been issued, and so just like when there's a tornado warning, I'm being a little facetious, most people go out and try to look for it and get a film, you know, take a picture. But that's not a funny thing with satanic attack. We better take cover. We better go to the rock for refuge. And that rock is Jesus. And we need to protect ourselves immediately. I'm done yapping. We're a little late. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 676. Folks, yeah, let's stand if you're able. Folks, we heard it already. Mrs. Hubbard went home to be with the Lord this week. Jeff Hackett passed into eternity. Who's going to be next? You know something? Everyone's going to see Jesus. We're either going to see him as he welcomes us home, or we're going to see him at the great white throne judgment where we're going to try to buy our way or find a way around what the Bible tells us. There is no way around. Because there's only one way to get into heaven and to have fellowship with the Lord both now and then, and that's through Jesus Christ. So that's your answer today, folks. You can search the world over, but if we're to believe what the Scriptures say, there is only one way, and it is through Jesus, our beloved Savior, God's only Son. Something to think about today. We still got time to get it right, and today's the day. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. I'm going to ask today that Lonnie would dismiss us with prayer. I'll be glad to greet you here on the way out today.
Help us to live that life we're supposed to live for you. Take us home safely, Lord. Give us back this in Jesus' name.